Thank you. Dearly beloved, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our Companion, who calls us in the power of the Holy Spirit and makes us the body of Christ. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live again. And whoever believes in me shall not die. Beloved, we do not know what we shall be, because that has not yet been revealed. But what love we are given, that we are called children of God, for that we do know. And when all things are revealed, we will see that we are like Christ. All who have this hope purify themselves, even as Christ is pure. In that hope, we gather to give thanks for the life of Sue Weber, to mourn her death, to face the mystery of death in the arms of love, and to give our own lives to the God who is with us in all things. Will you pray with me? God of grace, you know our hearts. You know our mixed feelings, our gratitude and wonder for the life of Sue Weber, and how heartbroken we are at her death. We offer our hearts to you, not asking that you fix them up, but that you hold them, so that we might give thanks with hearts that are broken with courage, so that we might mourn with hearts that are aglow with hope. God, we give thanks and we ask your blessing. In this time of celebration and remembrance, this time of sorrow and crying out for healing, we open our hearts to your presence, sure in the trust that you are with us always, in the love that we have seen in Jesus that walks with us every moment. So we give you thanks. We offer to you our broken hearts, and we ask your blessing as we remember and worship and mourn and praise all at once. We pray and we worship as we hope to live in the power of your Spirit, the Spirit of life. Amen. All three of these songs today are favorites of Sue's. I invite you to stand and sing For the Beauty of the Earth, number 92 in the blue hymnal.
Thank you.
I invite you to hear these words of Paul to the church in Corinth, words that we're accustomed to hearing at weddings. But just as fitting now, you've heard them all before. Love is patient, love is kind. Because Sue so intentionally embodied the love of God, I think it is accurate to read the scripture like this. Sue is patient. Sue is kind. Sue is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. She does not insist on her own way. She's not irritable or resentful, not rejoicing in wrongdoing, but rejoicing in the truth. She bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Because love never ends. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I thought like a child, I spoke like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. The greatest is love. And these words that were so important to Sue, from Paul's letter to the Romans, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Hear the word of God for the people of God. Those are hard words to hear today. Some other day, maybe. But today, it's pretty hard to hear about rejoicing in our sufferings, because this is a suffering we don't rejoice in. I don't care how much hope it produces. I'd rather have Sue. So it's hard to hear these words of Paul about hope in the midst of suffering. But we have to understand what Paul was talking about. When he starts out talking about suffering, it's pretty easy to assume that the hope is that things will get better. But that's not what he meant. And I think Sue knew that. For one thing, in the context that he's talking about here, the hope is, as he says right before this, it's the hope of sharing the glory of God. That doesn't mean being glorified. It means being with God. And that hope Sue had, and it did not disappoint her. Ever. Sue lived with a lot of pain, chronic, acute pain that sometimes just would not let go of her. But her hope was not that she would feel better. Her hope was in the love of God. And her hope was not disappointing, because God was with her every moment. If God were just a divine fix-it person, we would complain that God didn't make it better. But that's not who God is. God is greater than that. God is with us every moment. And Sue knew that. Even in the worst of her suffering, she was never apart from the glory of God. She had that hope, and it did not disappoint her. When Paul talks about hope, he also means something more than just hope that things will get better for me. I don't know how many times Sue got up here at the microphone on Sunday morning to share a prayer. And sometimes when she stood there, she was feeling pretty good. And sometimes she was in a little pain. And sometimes she was in a lot of pain. And she would stand there in that pain and pray for others. For children, for the poor and the homeless, for people who were being abused and persecuted, for immigrants and queer people and lonely people, people who are having a hard time. Because her prayer and her hope never was, I hope I feel better. Her prayer and her hope was for the healing of humankind. Even in her suffering, she rejoiced because she endured, because she knew she was part of something greater than just herself and her own comfort or her own suffering. And because she knew that, that endurance gave her character that was trust in that divine love that was working among people to bring healing, even when she couldn't see it or feel it. And that was her hope, that God is loving everybody all the time, no matter what. And that belonging to the whole human family, even belonging to the whole creation, that was her hope. God's redemption of the entire universe. That was the hope that enabled her to rejoice, even in the midst of her own, what she would think of as little suffering, for the sake of the whole creation. And when Paul talks about hope, he knows he's talking about the future, but he's not talking about the afterlife. Such a temptation at a funeral to say, well, now she's in a better place. She's feeling no pain. We don't know that. God feels pain. God has felt her pain all of her life. God feels all of our pain, always. Part of our problem is that we've inherited this popular, not very Christian, sort of Greek idea of resurrection. It's sort of like you have apple juice in a glass, and the spirit is the juice and the body is the glass, and they're two different things. And when you die, the spirit goes on and you throw away the glass. That's not scriptural. It's pretty hard to have apple juice that's not in something. It doesn't make any sense to imagine that when you die, you just sort of poof, and there's apple juice in the air, and then you throw away the glass. That's not biblical. That's not the resurrection of the body. That's the resurrection of the spirit. But we believe in the resurrection of the body. Now, what does that mean? Especially if your body is in a lot of pain, like Sue's was. Resurrection doesn't mean survival. It doesn't mean going on. It means transformation. Resurrection doesn't mean the apple juice in the glass. It means the juice in the apple. And what a resurrection means is that the apple dies and is buried, and the fruit rots and becomes compost. And that little seed breaks open and grows into a new apple tree, and it bears fruit. That's resurrection. I'm not worried about what might happen to Sue after death if she still feels pain, because she's being transformed. An apple into a seed, into a new tree. that we can't see yet. But we have a hint of what it's like. When Jesus died and was raised, he came back in a new body. And that body is us. We are the body of Christ. Christ the apple died, and Christ the apple tree was raised up. What Paul is talking about is surrendering our lives in love, like Sue did. I've never known a more self-giving person. And when we give ourselves in love, when we give ourselves away, we become part of something infinite. And when that apple is buried, a new tree grows, and it's in us. All of Sue's love that she lived all her life, still here. It's in us. And that is the real, actual, physical body that she is raised in, as well as something else that we don't know. We comfort ourselves by pretending to know. But there's a stronger comfort in Sue knowing this, that even in our suffering, even as we face the mystery of death and loss and grief, we rejoice. Because we endure knowing that there's something greater. And that greater presence gives us trust. And that trust is our hope. And that hope does not disappoint us. That's what enables us to live with the kind of love that Sue had. It's possible. It sounds immense, but it's possible, and we know, because she showed us. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift of your presence with us and in us. We are rays of your light, fruits of the tree of your love. And as Sue had deep faith, we yearn also to trust that your love lives in us, endures all things, hopes all things. So as we mourn Sue's death, we give thanks for the gift that she gave us. We open our hearts to your resurrecting spirit. We ask your grace as we remember and give thanks. May the Spirit of Christ, who's died and raised from the dead, who lives with Sue in glory, embrace us as well in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing together another of Sue's favorite, "You Can Remain Seated." be seated. Now, I might have made it sound like Sue was perfect, and she wasn't. She was close, but there was a limit to her compassion. Her kids can tell you how willing she was to thoroughly embarrass them on Sunday mornings. But see, that's a kind of suffering that they endured with joy because they knew she loved them. You're going to hear some stories about Sue. Some amazing, some plain and ordinary. This is how God loves us, by giving us one another.
I wanted to share some words of appreciation for Sue with you. I first met Mark and Sue when they came to St. Matthew's, and I was assigned to be their shepherd. I learned that Sue was having a lot of medical appointments in Boston at that time, and she was hoping that someone would help her with the driving. So I did, and over long hours in the car, and in waiting rooms and doctor's offices, we became good friends. She became, to me, the sister I never had. I admired Sue immensely from the very beginning. For all the time I knew her, she was in extreme pain. But, as you all know, she had this rock-solid faith in a loving God. And she was just full of love and gratitude, particularly, of course, for her family and for Mark and Andre and Carly, but also for everyone and everything around her. She just saw beauty everywhere. And being with her made me want to be better. I wanted to try to have some of the qualities that I admired in her. But we had fun together, too. We discovered early on that we both had this lifelong love of figure skating. And when the World Figure Skating Championship came to Boston in 2016, we decided that we were going to do whatever it took to get there for as many of those events as we could. So we sat day after day in TD Garden, and we just saw amazing things. We saw the men's singles finals and the women's and the ice dancing and the pairs. And it was just thrilling. I mean, it was so exciting to be there with her, to have somebody who was just as excited about every bit of that as I was. Another thing, a little bit more on a serious side, that I appreciated about Sue and I admired about her is how much time and energy she gave to the people and the organizations she cared about. I know there were many examples, but the one that I was most familiar with is Boston Share Network and all that she did for them. For those of you who are visiting, Boston Share Network was started by a husband and wife team here at St. Matthew's. And it's a coalition of shelters and agencies and volunteers that look for the needs of the poor and the homeless in Boston and then try to respond to those needs. So Sue was just an integral part of BSN. She was so organized, and she helped us be more organized. She also was a wonderful and creative writer. She wrote newsletters and mailings and promotional material. She compiled a biography and history of BSN for Dot to use. She also had a knack for uncovering and writing stories about people whose lives had been changed by BSN. Her words just drew you in, and you just wanted to read to the very end. She also helped me very specifically I was supposed to keep track of the BSN donors and then write thank you letters to people, but I periodically fell behind. And every single time I did that, Sue stepped in and she rescued me. With everything that she had going on for her, she just came through. She did everything that needed to be done and got us back on track. She did that for other people and groups too. I think she was just really attentive and responsive to other people's needs. So that's mainly what I wanted to share. I just wanted you to know how special she was to me and how really glad I am that we were friends and how much I will miss her. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lauren, one of Mark's sisters. And when I think of Sue, I think of how much she loved her family and the people and everyone in general. She was especially proud of Carly and Andre. And Mark, she always told me how amazing he was, that he could do anything from fixing cars to cooking fabulous meals. She was always telling me how lucky she was. I think of her warmth, her sweet smile, her genuine spirit, and her playful ways. She also was not afraid to draw outside the lines, which was so refreshing. It was evident by her actions, words, and deeds that Sue loved the Lord and her church. She shared with me how important it was for her to find a home church wherever they moved to. And she was happy when she found community here at St. Matthew's. Back at her home church in Michigan, she started out a Mom's Night Out group. She knew it was important for moms to connect, take a break, and fellowship with one another. She also started a group called Soul Tenders, which was a woman's support group. Our family friend Chris said Sue would always have a devotion prayer that was exactly perfect for what they were dealing with. She also always provided food for everyone. Chris said it was obvious Sue put her heart and soul into both these groups. That was just like her. Whatever she committed to, she did it with 100%. Years later, both groups are still going strong, all because Sue saw a need and found out how she could do her part to fill that need. She truly had a servant's heart. Sue loved her family deeply and always went above and beyond for special occasions, birthdays and holidays. One thing that really stands out to me was when our dad turned 90. We had planned a big birthday party for him in Michigan. Although Sue knew that she would have loved to have been there, but she knew she was not going to be able to attend, that didn't stop her from contributing to the celebration. She came up with this fantastic gift idea of making a book for our dad, and she asked for all the kids' memories, big or small, didn't matter to her. She didn't want one little item left out of my dad's life. She then added her own little creative twist to it with her artwork page layout and humor, which made it extra special. She worked many hours, days, and weeks on this book, and it came close to 100 pages. It was truly a labor of love for her. I think this is a great example of what kind of person Sue was, always thinking of others and wanting to make people happy and know that they mattered. Sue loved to have fun and be silly. Last year, Doug and I came here for Carly's graduation, and I'm so very thankful we had that time together. Sue came up with this grand idea that we would decorate Carly's car while she was away practicing for the ceremony. Most moms would just have used some chalk paint and maybe a balloon or two, but not Sue. She was way more creative than that. Knowing Carly's passion for animals, she got out three large trash bags of Carly's stuffed animals that had been in the attic, put away for quite some time. She had us empty them out all over her car, dozens and dozens of stuffed animals, I'm telling you. She didn't stop at that. She had to have ordered every animal-shaped Mylar balloon she could find because there was like a horse, a pig, a cow, a dog, you name it. She had it. The bigger, the better. We tied them all around Carly's car. And it didn't stop at that. That was quite a sight to see as it was, but it didn't stop there. On the window, she wrote, hello, debt, I'm going to be a vet. She was always coming up with fun little rhymes. When Carly saw the car, she was definitely surprised. Sue just had a knack of making things more fun. Another memory, our son Kurt reminded me of how every year when the Webbers would come down to Tennessee for Easter, there was always some strange item that would end up in the kids' Easter's baskets that didn't quite fit in. He said the strangest thing he found amongst the jelly beans and chocolate eggs was a box of instant mashed potatoes. Other kids might find a can of Vienna sausages or sardines. And it wasn't as if we had these items in our pantry. Sue made a special trip to the store to get them. As the kids found their baskets on Easter morning, Sue would just sit back, watch, and chuckle as they made their discoveries. She loved to make them scratch their heads and go, where'd that come from? Our son Sean said that I had to mention midnight pizza because it was Aunt Sue that invented it. One of the first times Mark and Sue came down for Easter, our kids were saying how hungry they were. Late at night, around bedtime, it didn't seem to matter that we had just eaten a huge Easter dinner a few hours earlier. So Sue pipes up, well, let's order pizza. We'll call it midnight pizza. Well, from then on, of course, the kids loved that, and then it was our tradition. So every time we visited with the Webbers, no matter if we were at our house, their house, or Grandpa's lake house, Aunt Sue picked a night and made sure to order midnight pizza for everyone. I know Sue will be happy to know that we're definitely going to be carrying on that tradition. I'd like to conclude with some thoughts from our daughter, Kelly, who asked me to share this with you about her Aunt Sue. My Aunt Sue, wonderful, beautiful, unique, creative, compassionate, thoughtful, selfless, and gentle. Those are just a few words that come to mind when I think of my Aunt Sue. She had a way of making me feel extra special on every occasion. Aunt Sue's presence always made me feel at peace. When we would talk together, she always had a warm smile on her face. I will always remember her smile. She cared so much for every member of her family. Every year I look forward to my birthday card from Aunt Sue because I know it will have a cute and creative message that will most likely rhyme and make me feel so important. Some of my favorite memories with my Aunt Sue would be the super fun sleepovers we would have at the Webber's house in Farmington Hills, full of playing games outside, playing Mario Kart with my cousins, and of course, midnight pizza. She was always in support of us kids having fun together. She was like our little fun cheerleader. I also loved the yogurt fruit dip Aunt Sue would make for breakfast. I was so excited when I knew I was going to be going over their house for a sleepover. The Webber family coming to Tennessee almost every year for Easter was something I looked forward to as well. It was fun having Aunt Sue in Tennessee. I knew us girls would be getting our annual Easter pedicures and going to Starbucks after the service because it was her tradition with us. Something else that reminds me of Aunt Sue would have to be Dove Dark Chocolate Squares. She sure did love those things. I'm so thankful for my Aunt Sue. She was my buddy. I'm going to miss her genuine spirit and words of wisdom and love. My life is forever changed because of her, and I now have a note on my wall that says, "Live like Sue." I want to make a difference in people's lives like she made in mine. I want to believe in people like she believed in me. Aunt Sue saw the best in everything and everyone. Her beauty radiated from her soul. When I think of her, I think of warmth and happiness. She was a perfect fit for our family, and I cannot imagine our lives without her. She added something special to every memory. I can say without a doubt, we are all better for knowing her. Fly high, Aunt Sue. You are loved beyond compare, and I will remember you always.
Hello, I'm Doug, and I'm Mark's brother-in-law. We met Sue in 1990. We lived in Dearborn, and Mark calls his sister Lauren up during the week and asked if we'd like to to spend a Saturday going to a Michigan State football game. He had met this pretty special lady, and he'd like to introduce us to her and spend the day together. So we accepted and had a beautiful day to go out, nice fall, crisp day. And first met her and had that big warm smile and sparkle in her eye. Had a fantastic time. When we left them on our way home, Laura and I were talking and looked at each other and go, it's a pretty special person right here, Mark has introduced us to. Lo and behold, not long after that, the big celebration took place and she became a part of our family. And we had no idea how blessed we would be as time went on. They bought their first house in Farmington Hills and we had our first family potluck dinner. Our families, all Sue's family, we all gathered. As a young man growing up in the hills of East Tennessee, we always had this thing called Sloppy Joe's, put on hamburger buns. Well, Sue had her recipe for Sloppy Joe's, and there's none like I'd ever tasted before in my life. So another tradition from that day on, it became Sloppy Shoes. Sue's. So each Easter they would come down, that was always a meal we would have, a tradition. Every time we go up north, I'd always look at Sue. We are going to have Sloppy Sue's during this visit, right? Yes, we are, with a big smile. They would come down on Easter's, and I would drive about 45 minutes to go get my mom, back where I was born and raised, and bring her over for Easter dinner. First time she met Sue. So on the way home, my mom and I, we were sitting there, we talked a little bit, and she'd get real quiet, and just out of the blue, she looked over at me and said, that Sue sure is sweet, isn't she? I said, yes, she is, Mom, she sure is. So from that time on, every Easter, I was telling her we were going to have our dinner, and she goes, Mark and Sue coming down? And I go, they sure are. So they'd always make time for her to sit and visit with her. In those times that Sue and my mom would sit together and have the one-on-ones. So I knew she's been filled with a cup full of love. We would make our trips up north there on the water. And Sue and I, being the oldest of the crew, we'd always be the first ones up while everybody slept in. So we would always have our morning coffee and our morning personal time, our little chats. We'd talk about our faith. We talk about how blessed we were to be a part of this Weber family and this tribe, and just how wonderful it was to be so loved. We'd always have a great time up there. Anything we ever did and Sue was involved with it, she wanted to make sure everyone had a good time. So we had a pretty good-sized tribe up there between us and Mark and the Kellys, and we all decided to load up one day and head down to Traverse City to the Pirate Cove and go play some putt-putt. So we knew this was going to be fun. Sue volunteered to be scorekeeper for everyone. So we were rocking and rolling, and the competition, I got to tell you, was getting a little heated up between a few and a couple of the participants. And you could tell Sue was getting a little agitated. So right at the 18th hole, Sue stands up, takes the scorecard, rips it up in pieces, and just throws it up in the air. She says, it's just a game. Everybody's a winner. Some of us laugh. There's a couple go, I was winning. But that's just Sue. So that's just the way she was. She conveyed all the love and kindness to our family, to everyone that she came in touch with. Jesus gave us two commandments, the most important ones, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and spirit, and love thyself as thy neighbor. Sue was exemplified that commandment throughout our family, throughout anyone she crossed paths with, whether it be a stranger, whether it be her church family. She led by that example for us all, and we're so grateful and we're so blessed. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to try and get through this. My name is Tanya, and I'm one of Sue's nieces, and these are my sisters. We're each going to take a turn here. But Sue was many things to each of us, a daughter, a sister, a wife, a mother, and a friend. To me, she was my beloved Aunt Sue. Most of my childhood memories include her. She took us shopping for school clothes almost every fall and to pick out special Hallmark Christmas ornaments to give to one another. She encouraged our creativity, spending time with us coloring, making holiday centerpieces, and special photo albums. She hosted slumber parties with our cousins, where we would make up dance routines to the Fine Young Cannibals in the basement. When she met Mark and they fell in love, she was so excited to bring the two families together for the wedding and for holidays. We had special times all together. Her love for Mark was a constant. Just recently, Sue texted my mom a picture early on from their relationship of Mark with the caption, "Wow, check out this hot dude." She loved you so much. Her true joy, though, was becoming a mom to Andre and Carly. After they moved east, Sue loved to send pictures and updates so we all knew what was going on with Carly and Andre so that we could share in that joy. On a lighter note, sometimes she also would text requests. She wanted her favorite Kirby's dressing shipped to the house or the best tuna known to man from Costco. It was sometimes more to ship the item than it was to actually purchase it for her, but it was worth it. She was so excited when she'd get those. On their summer trips home, she'd stock up on Ruby Red Squirt, Date Nut Bars, Sanders Hot Fudge, and, of course, more tuna fish. Each trip also included a White Castles challenge that Andre almost always won, a stop at Buddy's Pizza, and General Tao's Chicken at Peking House. These places will always make me think of Aunt Sue and the fun memories that we have of her. Sue taught us to be silly, to have fun, and to love one another. She was very thoughtful and sent the best cards filled with her distinctive cursive handwriting and her sometimes questionable poetry. It was always a twist, though, that only Aunt Sue could put on things. And her love always shone through with that. She taught me by her example how to be the fun aunt. And we all have some big shoes to fill.
Our Aunt Sue was always around when we were younger. We played in the backyard. She went to the zoo with us and let us dress up in her 80s single lady clothes, as you can see in some of the pictures. My sisters and I came up with a mermaid outfit, complete with shaving cream top, towel wrap bottom, and swim fins. She joined right in, and there's photos for our lifetime of embarrassment and laughter. Max, as most of you know, is her beloved Nissan Maxima from the 80s that she cherished for decades. I grew up with that car as a vital part of my family. Aunt Sue let me be very involved when Andre came along. She would take us to the store, and people would comment on her beautiful children. We looked so alike with blonde hair and blue eyes, and I was all over him. He was my favorite little nephew to play with, cousin to play with. I regret the last 10 years as I grew apart from Aunt Sue, the one who called me Jessica Juice all these years. I will miss her just as much, no matter the distant time that passed. Aunt Sue was my person and my bestie growing up, and that's the time I will cherish forever. She was wacky and fun with a caring, loving personality. She loved God and all of his people, and especially her family. We all miss her dearly and will hold on to the great memories she gave us, knowing she truly is in a better place until we can see her again. She is with each and every one of us, no matter where we are.
As a child, Sue was so involved in our lives. She loved us as her own children and spent as much time with us as she could. She was at every special day I can remember, birthdays, school events, church plays, sports games, and graduations. Every holiday was a big deal to Aunt Sue. She loved to decorate the table, helping us celebrate by making homemade decor, turkeys, fall leaves, Santa Claus, decorating the Christmas tree. She bakes beautiful cakes. One year it was a cross cake for Easter. She loved coloring Easter eggs with us. You get the picture. She loved to celebrate life and celebrate family, enjoying the times we were all together. She loved the outdoors and flowers. I think she may have been influenced in her early years by my grandmother's love of flowers. One of my favorite memories is when Aunt Sue introduced me to gardening. One summer day, my aunt brought over some flowers for me to plant with her. They were black-eyed Susans, but from that day on, they became brown-eyed Susans. I took care of those flowers for years, and every time I see a formerly known as black-eyed Susan, they remind me of Aunt Sue and her overwhelming love for me. She lovingly nicknamed me Brown Eyes, and she is Aunt Brown Eyes, or sometimes she'd sign her cards BBE, Big Brown Eyes. This special memory and nickname are something I will treasure forever. I encourage you to find that one thing that always reminds you of Sue. Maybe it's Sanders Hot Fudge, the iconic Bad Boys Pistons team, a cup of coffee, her Southwest decor, or any other thing that was special to you and her. Use that to help you to keep her spirit of love and celebration of life close to your heart. She was such a beautiful person inside and out, always wanting to help others less fortunate, serving at the food pantry, writing for the Boston Share Network newsletter, lending a hand when she was able. And even when she wasn't physically able, she found a way to support those who could. She was a cheerleader, always encouraging others to dream big and go for whatever your heart desires. When the Wee Webbers moved out east, it was hard to be so far from them. But Aunt Sue was always involved from a distance. She sent email cards, texts, snail mail cards, gifts, called, and she always tried to connect during their summer visits back to Michigan. Aunt Sue had a way of making you feel loved, no matter the distance. We must choose to see the things, big and small, that she loved and keep her memory alive through celebrating and continuing the love and life we have together. Take that one thing that reminds you of her. Also look back at maybe what she has done for you and pay it forward, remembering her and paying honor to how she lived her life. She loved God and she loved people. I just pray that you would all continue to live in the spirit that she lived, loving others and loving God. So when you see some brown-eyed Susans, smile, because Sue loves you.
Good afternoon. My name's Tom, and my mom is Dot Wurst, one of the founders of Boston Share Network. And she's unable to make it here today, but I was going to read a little something that she had sent out regarding Sue to share with you all. My dear friends, my heart is so sad at the sudden death of our beloved Sue. She served with us on the Boston Share Network Board of Directors for the past several years, helping in whatever way she could. Through her pain, she did so much. She certainly left wonderful memories with us, including the evolution of Boston Share Network and all of the creative issues of Boston Share newsletters. She was meticulous in all of the work she did behind the scenes, and we are a better organization because of her. I hope she is looking down on us, knowing how much she is loved and appreciated, and how happy we are that she is at home in peace in the loving arms of Jesus. Our greatest blessing of all is looking forward to eternal life in heaven. God bless each of you and give us peace as we mourn together. Love, Dot.
Will you pray with me? God, we treasure these memories. We hold them in the light of your love, grateful that this is how you love us. You send among us people who are loving. You give us one another. In Sue's gifts, we have seen your grace. We have felt the touch of Jesus. We have sensed the movement of your Spirit, and we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the confidence that no matter what pain Sue was in, you were with her, loving her, cherishing her every moment. We give thanks that now her entire life is gathered up in your glory. Her gifts scattered into the world. Her sins forgiven, her hopes fulfilled, her life a treasure in your heart as well as ours. We lift up to you our broken hearts and ask for your healing. Help us to bear our grief with courage and wisdom. Help us to endure this suffering with hope and gratitude. As we face the mystery of death, we ask for your grace that we might live our lives as those who are prepared to die, that we might follow your calling and listen for your voice in our lives, and we might love one another while we have the time, that we might embody your love for the poor, for the stranger, for all creation, for all those things for which we need forgiveness or completion. This is the time, God, that we open our hearts to you, that you might move us. God of grace, we pray for your blessing for all our broken hearts, especially for Mark, for Carly and Andre, for all those whose hearts are so broken at the loss of Sue. We pray for her brother Richard and Valerie, for Cheryl and Jim and their families. Give them courage and hope in days to come. Surround us all with your grace and your blessing. Uphold us with confidence in this mystery that we do not understand but trust, that you raise us up from death, that your love is more powerful than the grave. These things we pray in the hope that Sue showed us. Hope for your healing for the whole human family and for all creation, that together, as one glorious and blessed body, we might be raised to new life. In this we hope and pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together number 451, Be Thou My Vision. Thank you. seated. Sue was so loving, it made it easy to see that there's something holy in that. And Sue was goofy and made us suspect that there's something holy in that, because there's something holy in who we are. We invite you to stick around after this service for the reception and eat some food and tell some stories. You'll find on the tables these cute little invitations that Sue made up for this church. And you can take one if you want. There's four or five on every table. They're sort of a reminder of Sue's over-the-top, a little outside-the-box joy and her insistence that that joy be shared. Dearly beloved siblings in Christ, the love that brought creation out of darkness, that gives you life, shine in you always. The Christ whom we worship in joy and mystery, who has died and been raised from the dead, walk with you every day. Bear your pain, sing your joys, and delight in your company. And the power of the Holy Spirit that moved Sue to love so freely, move you, connect you with one another, give you courage and beauty and love and joy to the ends of life and beyond. In the name of the crucified and risen Christ, go in peace and serve God with joy. Amen.